Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So today, awesome guest. Been looking forward to this. We've been talking about it for a while, postponing it, and had a lot of stuff going on, though.
Yeah.
Finally got everything settled. Everybody's in the right places, so now it's time to do a podcast. So today we have Allie Knox.
Hey.
How are you?
Good, good.
Get up and make sure we can hear you because you got a great voice.
I can hear myself.
You have a great podcast voice.
I'm soothing.
It's probably one of the best voices I've heard so far.
Oh, you're just being nice. You say that to all the podcasters.
No, I just want to stress you out. So Allie Knox, we have been friends for, I don't know, a long time.
Yes.
15 years?
About that, yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And we worked together at another salon.
Uh-huh.
We both are hairdressers,
yes.
Local.
Yes.
And due to that, we've been friends for a while. And finally, our paths finally crossed again. You were opening a salon, working on it, and you reached out and needed a place to come work. And I was like, absolutely. Which I've always, you know, it's always about cooperation over competition. You know, yeah. And that's, you know, you're like, listen, I'm building a salon. I need a place to work for a couple months, and then I'm going to be leaving. And I'm like, perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah. So you came and worked with us and you got your place open. Now we want to have you on the podcast and let everybody know the name of it and where you're at so that people can come find you and check you out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
And thank you for not asking questions, just being like, yeah, come on board.
Yeah. Well,
so I appreciate it.
Cooperation over competition.
Yeah. I like it. Especially in a small town. You need that.
Well, I always love when people, you know, and I've even been in a place where, and I don't know what it is. Maybe I've not good enough. I don't know what it is, but whenever, like, I remember when I opened up my salon and then I heard somebody was opening another salon, I was like, oh, great. There goes my salon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have any confidence for some reason. I was like I'm just barely hanging on, and it's really not the case. And I remember Matt was like, you know, send them flowers. You know, let them know, hey, welcome. Anything I can do to help
And
be there for you, just let me know.
Yeah.
It's a great way to start off.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a lot of helpful hints from him.
Yeah.
Over the last couple months.
You know, the funny thing is, it makes perfectly good sense.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's very true.
Yeah, I think he just was like, maybe this is what you should do.
Well, and I think from where I started, at least in the salon I started, it was kind of embedded in our minds, that
paranoia mindset.
Yeah. And it was kind of like a competition.
Yep.
There was no, like, and when I went off on my own initially and I was just renting a booth, the girls at Salon Pink, that's where I initially
went, Allison,
Chris, Allison. And Liz Spagoni, they were so helpful.
Yep.
From the very start. They didn't know me from Joe Schmo on the street, and they literally were like, here's what you need to do, and here's... And they always said from the start, I don't care what you do with this, Allie, like, we'll always be here to help you. And they have, just like you. And that's where I kind of found that cooperation over competition kind of thing, like where it just benefits everyone. And it actually benefits you, you know? Like,
Well, life's tough enough. You know, I don't need to be like looking over my shoulders or living this paranoid existence about, you know, the only reason I have success is because there's no other salons. It's not really, you know, I mean, we work hard at it. We fine tune our craft, right? And the other kind of cool thing about this area is that we're very, is even though we're a small town, it's also about area. I mean, you within a 10-mile radius, stretch, you know, can change the whole game. So, you know, just because you're in town doesn't mean, you know, and you opened your new salon, which is a great, and I'm excited because that whole area has gone really through a transition.
Yeah.
Which is, what's that road?
Hebron Road.
Yep, Hebron Road.
Yeah, it used to be
the Hebron Road.
Hebron, and it used to be like West Rehoboth.
Oh, yeah.
And my business partner, yeah, Kimmy, Kim Cirillo, who owns the salon with me, she actually went to school at Cape, and she used to take a bus that, she was like, it was a dirt road, and they wouldn't even go all the way down because there were so many potholes, and I mean, it has definitely changed. I don't think I've ever been down that road before. And it's very
well,
pretty.
Unfortunately, I have. There was some, you know, back in the early days, you know, the late 90s, you know, some, you know, doing some, having some fun.
Oh, you know.
But, and I used to actually work at Shortstop and, you know, back in the, because now the Henlow, I don't even know what that storage unit is that's there that welcomes you into Rehoboth. I know it's Henlopen Hotel. I mean, it's like a little mini Henlopen Hotel right there.
Okay. Oh, the one. But it looks like a hotel, and it's a storage
unit?
It's
a storage unit.
Oh, my gosh. I till just now, did you think it was a hotel? It's very. It's like on the corner.
It's on the triangle.
Yeah. I know exactly. Oh, yeah. It's very pretty for a storage unit. I didn't know.
Beautiful.
And then there's like a cafe kind of behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The city made sure of that.
Yeah. I'd like to know what's in there. I don't even know if it's. Maybe it's just storage for the hotel.
Maybe.
I don't know, but there's an office across the street that I think kind of is the office for it.
Okay.
But way back in the day, it was
we need to get them on the podcast then.
Yeah. It's like Area 51.
Maybe. No one knows in the middle of
Rehoboth. Aliens are in there. There was a Shortstop there, and that's where one of my very first jobs I have in Rehoboth, and the weekends were interesting between West Rehoboth and then there was a great gay bar down there.
Oh, the Renegade?
The Renegade.
Oh, I had me some good night before 21, after hours. Yeah. That was a fun place.
So there was quite a few little facets down there that used to kind of come together at the Shortstop, and it was, you know, there was either paper towels or 911, but it was crazy.
Yes, it's definitely changed since.
Yeah, so they're switching it over a little bit, and you are opening a salon down there.
Yeah, and it's become very commercialized. From what I hear, there used to be a lot of residents down there and now there are a bunch of businesses.
Yep.
So they're building something directly across the street and I have no clue what it is, but it's right before you get to like Revelation Brewery. And I think Envirotech is down there as well.
And a furniture store.
Furniture store. And then there's a gun shop.
Is it Coastal Furniture?
No.
Maybe. I forget. I think it's Coastal Furniture because we just went in there.
Okay. It's then pricey. Maybe it is. You would, okay.
I was like, hey.
Well, that area, well, I feel like when you go, someone said, I literally drive there every day, but I don't go past the salon. But if you go down, that is also leads into like a beautiful neighborhood and turns you like, I need to tour it because I don't know my way around.
You might get your bearings
down there. I've lived here for
30
years, so.
Well, the only reason I'm familiar with it is because that's where the trail goes. So, you know, if I take the Junction Trail, you know, across by the church and then through the woods and then it comes out behind the car wash.
We're right there.
Yeah, so.
We're literally, the house is, if you're coming out and you're headed towards Rehoboth, we're right there on the left on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, exactly. So but there was a long time that we used to go right to the car wash. That's how I would ride my bike to Rehoboth. But the state or the town is really created, they really want you to go left towards your salon.
Okay, well that's
cool. And then it's kind of a bike trail sidewalk and then a cross path, and then, you know, they just kind of utilize what's already there. They didn't create a lot of new paths, but it is a nice, it's better than riding on the avenue. The avenue can be a little sketchy.
Yeah, if you don't have sidewalks. Even if when you have sidewalks, because when people are there, you're going to be, if you're on a bike, you're going to be hitting people.
Yeah. So let's get into it. So, you know, we both worked together at a salon. We worked together for a while.
Yeah.
I didn't know I wanted to own my salon back then. I'm not sure you knew you wanted to open your own salon back then.
No.
But this evolution of the salon business, I think that's where we all kind of end up wanting to own our own salon.
Yeah. And I remember I had another one of my really good girlfriends say to me, because I was the same way, and she's always said to me, Allie, never say never. Right. And that's with everything in life, right? And I was like, no, I never want to open a salon. Like, it's too much. It's too much. And up until probably a year ago, I still would have said the same thing. But yeah, it's actually been really great so far.
One of the things that I know, the salon that you and I worked at, did we work at Bad Hair Day?
I worked at Bad Hair Day, yeah.
Yeah, I worked at Bad Hair Day. Mm-hmm. Those are great salons, but they're so big.
Yeah.
And when the pandemic hit, it really exposed, you know, I remember when they allowed salons to come back open, it was like three people or something, you know.
And well, I think you're right. It was only, I don't think it mattered that much, but it was like you had to be able to maintain a 6 foot difference or 6 foot social distancing right. at all times. So Bad Hair Day and the other salons I've worked at, like, they definitely didn't have the space for that.
Well, when and you know, Drexel's got 20 something folks working over there, and you know, and I love Drexel. He's so good. I've pleaded with him to come on the podcast. I think he's just nervous, but
I think they kind of, Bad Hair Day at least paved the way, I think, down here for
absolutely
high end salons and John Lorraine and things like that, and just kind of really. I think, at least, and that's where I got my start.
So. Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, one of the great things about Drexel was, you know, he, you know, when something, a situation arises, he really tackles it. And so he created these plastic separators and wash stations, and this, you had to come in when you checked in, you had to sanitize and do all this stuff. Yeah. You know, almost go through a...
Make everyone feel safe.
A mist curtain of 409. I don't know. But, you know, he just... he's like, I will not be held back by the coronavirus.
Right.
But to your point, you're right. You know, there was a time when Bad Hair Day was the main game in town.
Everyone wanted to work there.
And then everybody that would leave... You know, I think most people... It's kind of like that California offense, you know, in the NFL. It's like everybody at one point worked at Bad Hair Day.
Yeah.
And then they all go out and make, which I think is a great honor or a great, you know, honor to Drexel, right?
Absolutely. And he, like, I think, like I said, like he did pave the way and kind of show us how to treat the clients and the clientele that are moving to the area and that are in the area and how to really give them the best experience and not just, you know, spray down and go or just wash and go. It's more of an experience more than just getting your hair done.
Well, so. To Drexel's credit, I remember him telling me that I could work at a salon. And I remember when I started to, because I was shampooing people's hair. I was a shampoo boy.
Same. I was a shampoo girl.
But. At like 40 something years old, I'm like making this minimum wage on tips. But I remember watching him and just how he would interact with people and his, just him taking a second to say hi. Mm-hmm. But you would see the people, they just get, the smile would come over their face because everybody loved Drexel.
He was very charming. He is very charming.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, if he didn't know your name, I think I was permanently cool chick.
Yeah.
Like it was always like, was hey, cool dude. Chick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he, what were you?
Cool dude.
Cool dude. Yeah.
What's up, cool dude?
Yeah. And I still see him to this day and he's still like, hey, cool chick. How you doing?
Right.
Good, good. How are you? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, he is. He's very welcoming and he is very charming.
Well, and I think he's a great example for, you know, young hairdressers that are coming into the business.
Yeah.
I'm not.
So. No, you are.
Because I've forgotten all the great things that Drexel's taught. I remember Drexel's like, are you going to keep wearing blue jeans? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, well, you should go work somewhere else. I was like, okay.
Well, you know, that's a thing in the past, too. Like, I don't know, because I feel like when I worked at the one in Lewis, like Jess, our friend Jess, she definitely wore like some cute blue jeans. Like she always wore blue jeans.
I think you could wear black and blue jeans.
Yeah, black top.
Black top. Yeah. But I would wear blue jeans and like half black, half gray shirt. He's like, it's real simple.
You're always kind all of black. The rules.
And I was like, okay.
Pushing the limits.
But we love him.
Yeah.
So what do you think? This is it's not a new year, but it's kind of like a new year, right? We've come out of this weird pandemic, two years.
I think so, yeah.
We just kind of had our anniversary.
Yeah.
March 15th was kind of when that all...
Yeah. I went on my own. What'd you say?
The Ides of March.
Yes. Yeah. It's been really nice. I just had a client this morning, and her and I were just talking like how... it's just been so refreshing to finally like have, because we were like so isolated.
Yeah.
Even though we were still doing our job for, you know, we all went back to work like the following June, I think, and we were still doing our job. It was still like you went to work and then you went back home. So now it's kind of like things are, the weather's nicer. Mm. It's like everyone's getting outside. There's more events and, you know, the COVID's just kind of gone away, or people aren't as fearful because they've gotten it and realized that it's, well, you know, most people have gotten in and feel like it's not as bad as they.
Well, I remember 2 years ago, I was like, how are we ever going to work again? Like, remember, it was like so new. And I was like, oh. And I remember we were talking, my buddy Carlos, and I'm like, let's give it 2 weeks. Let's shut everything down for 2 weeks and we'll be good.
Yeah.
Two weeks.
2 years later.
Yeah.
But I think what I learned from this was, because prior to COVID, I was like, not that I don't work hard now, but I was really stuffing people in everywhere and just grinding it out. And, you know, now I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I'm not going to burst into flames if we got shut down for 2 years, right? I mean, and we've obviously still worked and stuff, but I don't know. I just found some more value in a little bit of serenity and not as much chasing the almighty dollar. I mean, I want to pay my rent and stuff, but it's not the most important thing.
No, and one of my good friends, Morgan, her and I both kind of went off on our own. I think we like gave our notice the day the governor shut us down. We were like, you know, we put in our 2 weeks, and then the governor was like, "Yeah, you can't go back to work." And we were like, "Holy crap!" You know,
so sorry.
Like, yeah. But that is that we talk about it all the time. Is like when, because we were off for 2 months. And it was like Groundhog's Day, you know, every single day, in and out. And then when we finally went back to work, it just put this new perspective on things. And like, we weren't allowed, one of the restrictions was you were not allowed to have more than one client at a time. And like you were just saying, we used to like stuff people in. And I was saying earlier, I used to be booked every 30 minutes. And you had assistants, you had front desk and everyone to kind of help you. And it was kind of like a conveyor belt, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think, for me at least, COVID kind of put things in perspective and helped us kind of slow down and kind of be like you just said, like that is not the top priority. Money is not the top priority. Competition is not the top priority. It's having that relationship with your client and with each other and having that camaraderie and being able to help people out when you can, you know? And
well, and also I think made me really appreciate that I even had a job.
Yeah.
Like at that point, you're like, Jesus, you know, I'm so grateful I have clients, you know, and when you, because, you know, I snuck into the salon every once in a while. I did a few foils in the dark.
Yeah.
And just very grateful that I even had the opportunity. So I think coming out of it on the other side, I try to, and I'm not perfect at it, but I try to be, you know, have more conversation, more thoughtful comments, you know, instead of, hey, sit down, cape them.
Yep.
And, you know, the fact that, because I left where we were, it's been 12 years now, but I did not, one of the things that I did not want to do was have an assistant. I actually had an assistant for a little while, and I had a front desk person, but in the end I realized I could do this. Like, when given an assistant, I'm like, yeah, can you take care of that? Well, and I'll like go around the corner and sit down. Like, I really, you know, this is, you know, I really need to spend the time with the clients. And so I think going through the pandemic and stuff made me realize that and be a little more appreciative.
Yeah. I think when we were able to do the one at a time, I agree with you with the notice. And we did, one of my girlfriends actually moved back from California like in September, who she was kind of like, didn't have a job, and I was like, do you want to come work with us at Pink? And she did, and she was super helpful, but just even like doing like towels and sweeping and just being able to, and the cleaning aspect of it, because you know, everyone
loves cleaning
time,
and folding.
I am really good at folding towels, Tom will tell anyone.
We'll talk about that.
I am agreement with you. Like, I definitely think I took advantage of the assistance, and especially at the other salon we worked at, and it was very Like, I took advantage of it, and we were very spoiled.
Yeah.
And then front desk, too, because it was like, but it also enabled you to literally just be in that 45-minute time and not do anything else to where, and then they had you for that 45 minutes, and you had them, but, I was definitely spoiled.
Yeah, but you think about it, the whole time I was in that kind of world, I'm thinking, how great is this for me? Right? Look at how good this is for me.
Yeah.
But now that when we're talking about it, I realize how good it is for the salon.
Yeah.
You know, because that allows more people to come through, more money to be made.
Yeah.
And, and when you came to your situation and reached out and said this is what you were doing, I was like, yeah, absolutely. You know, I do chair rental now. Yeah. I used to do commission It was fine. But what happens when there's slow times or, you know, for whatever reason, we're just not seeing a lot of people. It seems to happen certain times of the year. People would come to me and be like, how come I'm not busy? And I was like, well, you know, I remember Drexel was great at building books. I mean, he will build your book, but you basically need to sit there, which I did. I think we both did early on. We sat there in the beginning all day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he slowly build your book. But, you know, I don't want to be responsible for that. I like people that have a little bit of skin in the game. So I started doing the chair rental. And that seemed to work fine for you.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the commission salons are definitely needed. But that's not for me.
No.
And you either. And I definitely think that is, you know, it helped me build my book and acquire a clientele that I've had for 12, 13 years now. But it also allowed me to kind of like go off on my own.
Yeah.
And, you know, new stylists need.
Oops.
Need the.
I dropped my fidget.
Oh no.
My fidget toy.
Fidget spinner.
My fidget spinner.
New stylists need those commission because they don't have. I mean, we don't have that kind of atmosphere where we have a lot of foot traffic. You know, right. Bad Hair Day did. They had people walking around all, and he was, like I said, he paved the way. So everybody wanted to go to Bad Hair Day, downtown Rehoboth. So they were, you know, they were calling it, you have anyone available for a haircut? We just don't have that. Mm-hmm. It's nice, like you said, you're not a babysitter. You're not worrying about making sure someone else is paying their rent.
Right.
And they just come and they're more seasoned and they just kind of do their own thing.
Well, I think early on I know for me, it was about, I'll never forget when first day I got on the floor and I remember there was a haircut on my book. I said, oh shit, we got a haircut, you know? And then I'm like, okay. And then I was like, if I could just get one haircut a day, I'd be doing something.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden a color was added.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay.
Ooh, big money.
And then if I could just get one color a day, I'd be doing something. And then, you know, that's also a period of time where you're really just trying to figure out how to keep the client.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you may be new. And you do something, and you know, you're still learning, unfortunately.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But you're figuring it out. You know, it's all about putting on the right face.
Yeah.
And so then you start keeping clients, and then you start to build, and you're starting to keep and build, and you know, I think a lot of people go through a period where they're kind of building, but not necessarily keeping.
Right.
You know, they're coming through.
A lot of people, and they stay in that. You
right.
know. And one thing you remember, Miss Kay.
Oh yeah.
Our hairdresser, our education school teacher, she said, you know, this business is 80% personality and 20% skill.
That's right.
Like everything in life, right? And
that's
it's
right.
Like, it's so true. Like if you have a good personality and you can relate to people and you can just really engage with people, they will stay with you. They don't really, I mean, listen, hair is not rocket science. You know what I mean? Like it's, I mean, there maybe for you.
I don't know. Rocket science might be easier.
Maybe. Depends. I don't know.
Well, I always say they love you until you cut their bangs too short.
But even then, it grows out in a week. You'll be fine.
Tell them that. I hear what you're saying, though. It's not rocket science.
It's not. And it's, I mean, you know, and like you said, you're very like new in the beginning, but you figure it out. And then you learn things along the way. You're like, okay, don't cut above my fingers. Let's cut below, like you did with your short bang cut. But you know, but you always have your personality. You know what I mean? People come back to you because of you and who you are and how you can make them feel good about themselves. And it's not always a aesthetic thing, outside aesthetic thing. It's more on the inside a lot of times. But yeah, I mean, I definitely have taken that with me. I'm like, oh, maybe I have a really good personality.
Yeah. You know? I think you have a great personality. I almost feel like going to you.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. You're more than welcome.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah. Well, so where's the spot? So we already know it's down Hebron Road on the left.
So it's the address is 19878 Hebron Road. And
19878
Hebron Road. Hebron Road.
But you can just Google it.
You can Google that. And it's so you would actually, you know where the service road is?
Yeah.
In Rehoboth. So you're going to take that service road down like you're going to the car wash.
So you want to basically make the left at the CVS.
Yep. But you're not going to, and then you're going to make a right down the service road. Go down there like you're going to the car wash, go across, and you're on Hebron.
Yep.
And you go past the car wash, a set of condos, and then the bike trail, and then us. We're on the left-hand side. It's a little brown house with green shutters. We don't have a sign yet. But there's other businesses in the house. It looks like a little...
What is the name of your salon going to be?
It's Tossled Salon.
Tossled.
Tossled Salon.
I love that.
Yeah. And Kim actually came up with that. So she was just like, one night she just came with it out of the blue. And I was like, I like it. I like it a lot.
Well, that is the look we're all looking for, right? That tossled, like, oh my God, I just rolled out of bed. My hair looks amazing. Beach look. Beach curls.
Beach curls, yeah. That's why, you know, I always do my hair in curls now.
I love it.
But, yeah, it's funny. And people can't help but say tasseled, and I'm like, tossled.
Tossled.
Like, it's so funny when they say tasseled. I'm like, tossled. But, yeah.
Well, aren't tassels?
Yes.
Yeah.
You get two of them, I think.
Ayo.
Ayo.
That's a big difference, right?
When people say it, I'm like, do you know how to spell tossled?
I would imagine T-O-S-S-L-E-D?
No.
Tossled? D-L-D?
No, it's T-O-U-S-L-E-D.
Okay.
I know. That's. I had to look it up. Like when...
Tousled.
Yeah.
It's like a moose.
Exactly.
Tousled.
So, oh.
Tousled, eh?
Yeah. But yeah, it's Tossled Salon. And...
is that how you're going to spell it?
Yeah. I mean, that's how Tossled is spelled.
Yeah. Well, look, there's the way it's spelled, and then there should be the T-O-S-S-L-E-D. Tossled.
People be like,
well, and it's funny because I remember there was a restaurant down here. I don't even know, I'm not sure if they're even around anymore. And the restaurant was called Toot de Sweet.
What is it?
Toot de Sweet.
Toot de Sweet.
Which is French for something sweet. But it was done in cursive in this fine print, and it was so beautiful.
That's exactly how our logo is. That's
but
really
you
funny.
Can't you couldn't read it. Oh. No one knew what the fuck it meant. Oh, what the heck it meant. And they're gone.
Oh.
You know, here another piece of advice. Another piece of advice Matt Eustace gave me. He would say, "The best sign for a restaurant should be called Best Restaurant Ever." And then I'm sure that's taken. So you work your way down,
like
and
Buddy it, the Elf. Yeah, you're like best cup of coffee ever.
Best cup of coffee, best haircut, and it should be in big block letters so that there's no misunderstanding what we're selling here.
Best and blow dry in town.
Everything after that is all self, right? And that's what those people suffered from. They were so taken by their own product.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was so clever that they clevered themselves right out of business.
Yeah.
And I think they work at the farmer's market now.
This is a simple country.
It's listen, you got to keep it simple. Not that we're not. I'm sure yours is simple, but that
it is very well. And that's the we actually got our logo from Extreme Graphics in Milford.
Okay,
and nice. That's what his name's Jim. He's a great guy, and he said because we're sitting there going over things, and we were like tossled beach waves. Like, what do you know? These are the things we wanted to kind of like.
And it's hard to find a name.
It is. And he was like, and then he starts doing like these really cool like waves and sand in the background. And I was like, no, that's not going with our theme because our theme is kind of like boho, like jewel colors. And so he was like, listen, you want it to be pretty simple. And he was like, because the second you change it, you just destroyed your business. Yeah. And I was like, all right, we're keeping it simple, stupid, just like you said. So that's
well, and
exactly
you also see
did.
How would it look on a hat?
Right, yeah. Or the back of a car, you know, those little stickers you put like on the back of a car or your Yeti or something like that, yeah.
First of all, these people, you had to Google what the name was. Toot de Sweet, what is it? I'm going to Google it. It's like
well, that's also, so have you ever been, I think it's in Philadelphia. Well, it's like, there's a sign. It's a billboard sign, and it's like, I can't remember, it's something by Steve. Right? It's or something by some guy, and you have to Google it, and it's a jewelry store.
I hate Steven Singer.
Yes, I hate Steven
Singer. So that guy's pretty brilliant because he was a major sponsor for Howard Stern. I hate Steven Springer Singer Jewelers.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, God, that is a weird name, but it was, but you sure thought about it.
You did. Well, it's, I see every time I leave the area, I'm always like, oh, he's the jewelry guy. Mm-hmm. Because I remember, I think I was a passenger and I was like, what is that? And I Googled it, but that's kind of brilliant.
It's
right?
just a black billboard, and in white it just says, I hate StevenSinger.com. Yep. And you're like, what the?
Exactly.
Well, and I think Drexel did a little of that with Bad Hair Day, because you're like, Bad Hair Day, Bad Hair, like,
yeah,
it's saying like, oh, we have bad hair days, not we do bad hair, but right. it made you think about it.
Because he incorporated the question mark.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was always great about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Very good.
Perfect name.
Yeah.
Well, and when are you going to get the sign soon?
Hopefully soon. Yeah.
Did you get a CPA?
What's that? Yes, I do. I use
that. Oh yeah, I did.
Oh yeah, one of those. Yes.
I saw the light bulb.
Yeah.
Well, and we talked about this, and I shared with you what I do, and I don't know if you did it because of that, but I do think it's a good idea, and this was more, you know, from our buddy upstairs, but he was like, dude, get the best CPA you can get and get the best payroll company.
Yeah.
And that has been a godsend.
Yeah.
And especially the payroll company, especially when we went through the pandemic and we had that PPP loan money, I was able to call the CPA and the payroll. They came together, put all the information together, were able to get a little money from that. But
yeah.
it saved my ass like three times, especially I had an audit. Mm. So, but I think you did the same thing, right?
I did. So, yeah, that's all taken care of. What else did I do that you told me to do? Got a sign.
Suggested. I never tell you to do anything.
That's true. You told me to do the towels a lot. All the time.
Well, you want to talk about that? Because we can talk about that. Because if I'm off, if I have a day off and then I come back to work and then I'm folding all the towels from the day before when I was off.
You never gave me a chance. I was right. there. I would, this is what would happen. Tom be like, can you feed the cats? Can you fold the towels? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. And I'm working till like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And then I'm like, well, I'm here tomorrow morning. I'll just do it in the morning. And I don't come in till 11. And he's there at 9, folding the towels. And I'm like, I was going to do it before I started work. And there was like a couple piles there for you already folded.
Listen, I appreciate you. You know how it is. And I think you'll start as a new owner of the salon. Yeah. You're going to be like, shit, I can't.
No, like, I can't leave without things being done.
Right.
No, I know.
I came into the salon yesterday to grab some water and a ladder. And then when I came in this morning, I realized that I tracked dirt all over the salon when I was in the shop yesterday. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh my God. So now I'm sweeping, uh-huh. right? I'm doing all this stuff. I'm like, yeah. you do it. You take the help.
You're not going to do it. Who's going to do it?
Right.
Yeah. And that I was dusting this morning. Like the guy was in last night putting in, like finishing up some stuff and create a lot of dust. So this morning I was there early. They're late. Right. So
that's good. And you guys are worried about what I'm going to think. And I'm worried about what you guys are going to think because... Right. And like I did share, you guys were doing chair rental, which basically is you get a key,
yeah,
and free run of the place. And all I try to do is provide heat, water, and towels.
Right.
And so I want to have towels for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So it's, you know.
No, I mean, I'm just kidding. Like, of course. You were a great chair renter, or booth renter. But what would you be?
Chair lord.
Chair lord.
Oh, that makes him sound.
Oh, I like that. Fold the towels now.
You were a really good chair lord. You really were. You were very supportive. And like you said, we communicated from the start. Like, this is my goal. Can I borrow a chair for a couple months? You're like, absolutely. No questions asked. And you were very laid back. You were not up my butt at all about anything. No. So, no.
Well, the funny thing is, and I shared this story with you, you know, when I left where we were at, I'm not going to say the name of it. I'm not going to promote them.
No.
Devil.
Yeah.
When I left there, which is a funny story in itself, mm-hmm. leaving there.
tell me the story. I don't think I've heard the story.
Well, it didn't go as well as the story when you came and asked if you could rent a chair because you were building a salon.
Put it that way. Yeah.
I remember the person... Yeah. And we've laughed about it, I guess, but the person that owned it, she found out I was opening this salon because where we were working, it became very, and this happens, and this is no fault of anybody. We're putting fucking 20 people together to all get along. But at some point, you know, it can get a little
crowded,
p- I was going to say paranoid, but crowd is fine. But
yeah, two's company, three's a crowd.
And that's also, you know, that's another thing that's nice about doing chair rentals, that you're not always like, how come so-and-so's working and I'm not? You know, there's never this, it's like you got some skin in the game, build your own bridge.
Well, there's that
right?
competition again, right?
I don't like competition.
Well, yeah, and you've got to like, and you know, you got to really be careful when you are a commission, when you're an owner of a salon who has commission stylists. You have to be very careful in who you show, if you show favoritism to someone, like you just said, like how come
and
so-and-so is working. It's just you. Yes, exactly.
We
and
do.
So, and some people are more, I think the difference between a commissions salon and booth renters is booth renters are motivated. Because they're going to, like, they're not going to make money unless they, because you're not going to do it for them.
Right.
So people who own a salon and they have commissioned stylists, they're doing all the advertising, marketing, promoting them. And just some people who are not, who are less motivated, the person that's still motivated and probably will one day own their salon, they're not getting as much because that other person, or they're getting the same and they think, why are they getting the same as me? Like, I worked harder. I came in earlier this morning. Like, so then that's where that competition comes in.
Well, and as a person issuing out, like if I was working the front desk or as a, you know, even like today, I mean, I've taken everybody's inventory, unfortunately. I know who's here and who's not.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try not to be like that. But unfortunately, sometimes it happens. And
yeah, our and I will say, man, I loved our front desk, you
Kevin.
Know, where we were. Love him.
Yeah,
and
he's awesome.
And Alan. Alan's a good guy. And they did. They knew who was going. Like, they also were very good at deciphering between, like, someone who's going to be like, hey, I put so-and-so in your book at blah, blah, blah. And you'd be like, ugh.
Right.
I wanted to go to the grocery store. Or so, you know what I mean? Like, something. Or then there's going to be someone that's like, okay, cool, no problem. They get tired of hearing that. So they are really good about...
Well, and people tend to complain that they're not busy, and then they tend to complain when they put things on their
right.
book. So
they're never happy.
It's an. I used to love Timo. He was the hair traffic controller.
Yeah.
And he really was.
He really was.
You know, and it becomes...
He had a hat that said that, didn't he?
Shirt.
Shirt. Okay,
he gave me one. He made me this black sweatshirt that said hair traffic controller on it,
funny.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
But it would become that kind of... it would be... He would be the ambassador... To your client, he'd be like, all right, so I got this lady that called. This is what's going on. I feel like, and he knows who can handle what, right? And so he's actually the hair traffic controller. He's getting the right people to the right person.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Instead of it being where you just promote yourself, you know, and like where you just kind of took the thinking process out of it and just like, here, bring your own, you know? And I think that's, to me, that's what I would want to do.
Right.
I don't want to have to babysit. I don't want to have to build anyone's book.
Nope.
So, yeah.
Well, and that, you know, back to the original story was, is that we got very busy and paranoid and weird stuff started kind of going on there. And I just didn't like it anymore. And I felt uncomfortable. And, you know, when you were in one of those places where if you're friends with somebody, because I like to be friends with everybody, but if you're friends with this person, then this person means that you're clearly against them.
Right.
When actually I thought I was friends with both. And so it just gets,
yeah.
I'm like, this is just too toxic. And when I found out, or I found this spot, I was going to open it. And then the person found out and they're like, you're fired.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit. So I got fired.
Yeah.
And then I went over to CK. Oh, Kay was amazing. I think Kay's alive still. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kay. but I went over there and I'm like, hey, I'm building a salon. A lot like your situation. She's like, come in. Here's a key. Do whatever you want. She goes, and I've done this for other people. I've done this and then found, funny, I won't keep it anonymous, but someone came in, wanted to work at the salon, and I'm promoting them, I'm running ads, I'm building their book, and then one day they're like, oh yeah, I've been working on my own salon, goodbye. And I was like, why didn't you just tell me that? I don't have an issue, but don't let me promote you, or don't let me build your book.
Yeah.
So that was a little weird, but... Yeah. Kay's like, just come in. She goes, let's just split it 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to build your book. Mm-hmm. And you let your clients know you're not going to be here. And
right.
So it was fine. And I'll always be... I still have the key, even though that salon is no longer with us.
Oh, and I still have your key.
Yeah, because I told you, listen, you are making a big move.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going from one zone to another, like I said early on in this podcast.
It's literally less than, I think it's less than 2 miles, but because of the area we live in, it seems like a whole nother world to some people.
It's it's hell.
Well, and it's so funny. Sorry. Well, after Memorial Day, it can be to some. But, you know, I have, like you said, been in this radius for like a mile radius for the last, 15 years now. And the last 2 years, I've just kind of done a little circle around Lewis and Milton. And until we open this in West Rehoboth, which has been... It's actually because, and that's what, I mean, I live in Milford, Delaware.
I know.
And so I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. But it hasn't been that bad. I want to say I have been really lucky. I don't catch any lights in the morning. You hit it at the right time.
Do you want to say it or do you want me to?
Summertime is coming.
Hello.
I know.
It's been an amazing winter.
New Jersey license plates are on the way.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Well, this construction on Route 1 has been kind of a nightmare, I have to say.
Well, that's why I said keep the key.
Thank you.
And I told you, listen, you may find out that you may end up with a handful of clients that live out here.
Yeah.
And you may find yourself working over at the salon for half a day. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Yeah. I just said keep the key. And if you get yourself in a situation, you know, use it.
I appreciate it.
And that's always what Kay said. Keep the key. I still have it. And... You know, I think that is, you know, it comes back to the, you know, cooperation over competition. We're not doing anybody any favor by keeping them from working or trying to block them or stop them from working. That's why I've always, especially these salons that have these no competes in them.
Yeah, it's weird.
That is so, do they not understand that it doesn't benefit them? Mm. They only end up looking like a fool.
Yeah. Yep. You know, it's one of those things that I don't understand a lot of things, and I don't understand any sort of, like you just said, like not helping someone to me just isn't in my DNA. Like, I can't say I'm like, oh my God, let me just help everyone in the world, but I'm not like, I wouldn't want to hinder anyone, that's for sure.
Yeah, can you imagine blocking somebody with a no compete?
No.
What's it called?
It's all about money.
It's not about money. It's about paranoia.
Well, which results from because they think that their clients are going to go somewhere else. When in all reality, you know, like your clients go to you, and I have to shout out to my clients because that is one thing that kept me in the commission style or salon for so long, is because I was made to. Well, I shouldn't say I was made to believe, but I believed that a lot of times
programmed.
That the clients came because of the atmosphere and the salon and like the experience and this, that, and the other. And then when I was like making my getaway, most stylists know this. You don't tell anyone. Well, and generally in a commission salon, you can't tell anyone because something would happen like what happened to you. Mm-hmm. You immediately get told to leave, you know, and you're kind of like, standing there up, you know, what's creek without a paddle. And you're like, where am I going to do my clients now? But when I was planning it, I didn't tell one client. I never told one client. I had it all because I could not risk doing like being found out before I was supposed
to. So scared, right?
I was so scared. And then I, you know, the governor shut us down for 2 weeks and I had put in 2 weeks notice and I put a social on social media. I texted any of my older clients that don't use Facebook or whatever. And the amount of support and like the excitement from my clients that like, I mean, I was like blown away.
Yeah.
And I want to say I kept about 80 to 85% of my clientele from, you know, 15 years ago. And I was like, I mean, there's some that stayed because they were clients of the salon and they liked that salon and they liked the atmosphere and that's great. But I was really, I was really humbled and really excited to know that my clients actually liked me.
Well, I think we live in a good time now because when I left that salon, I guess it's been 13 years now. I mean, Facebook was around.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I remember early on. I remember I was working at that salon when the iPhone came out. I got the iPhone 3G. And I had this other phone that I would try to take pictures.
Yeah.
And you couldn't really post it anywhere. And I remember when the iPhone came out and we got the Facebook app and you could post stuff. But that was really the beginning. Up until that point, I remember when I worked at another salon. And, you know, I would get a sheet every day, and then I would try to keep the sheet, and I would try to, you know, make a list sort of my clientele. They always, and I always say, anybody that comes work for me, make a list of all your clientele. Yeah. I don't want them.
Right.
You take your clientele, do whatever you want. I'm not into it. Keep a list.
Yeah.
But I remember, you know, in those early times, we'd have to be, it was like secret list, you know, this, you know, in case they found, if I was found out and they threw me out the door, I got my list.
Yeah. And that was, that's funny you said that, because when I left, that was the last thing I took, was like my color book. Remember the old, the God Almighty like color book everyone kept in the color room?
It was for your color, but it really had like all your clients' phone number.
Had the addresses and all kinds of stuff. And that was made to believe that that was like property of that salon. And I was like, no, it's not. Like, I purchased it. It was definitely
nothing here.
But that was like the last thing I took, because it was like I was like a Shawshank Redemption. Like, I was taking little things out one at a time
in a plastic bag tied to your legs through the swamp water,
and
through
the
tunnel under the salon.
Yeah, that was it. Was the last thing I took was my color book.
Well, and you you did escape, because there's still some prisoners over there.
Yeah.
Can't get out.
They just don't know. They just don't know, you know. And I did, Kim Cirillo, the girl that owns Tousled with me, you know, her and I went to dinner, I want to say, a couple months after the pandemic had, like, we were still back to work and she was still working there. And I was, like, telling her, like, how great it was, how freeing it was. And, like, you know, and the benefits to being a booth renter are, you are in charge of you and your clients, no one else. And you can say, you can set your own schedule, and you get the flexibility of being able to, like, call your client. Like, you know, my kid, she sometimes gets an ear infection, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, it was such a pain in the butt to have to call in and then call. And, you know, then Kevin would have to call all the clients and reschedule them. If they couldn't get in with me, he'd put them on someone else's book. And it was like, and I get it, but anyway, the benefits of a booth renter is you have control of everything.
Yeah.
And initially it's a pain in the hiney, because you're like, it's a lot of work, a lot of, like, you got to do all the paperwork behind it and all the red tape or whatever you want to call it. But once you get everything, get all your products ordered, and you get everything situated with your financial aspect and your business licenses, it is so easy. I cannot say, like, I mean, tomorrow I have a doctor's appointment with my daughter up north. And last week I rescheduled everyone.
Yep.
I remember working at a salon where I, oh my gosh, to ask for a day off, I would have to hand in like a white slip piece of paper.
Really?
Oh my God. First it went from like, I would have to hand it into the office. And then it got to the part where I had to like physically hand it to her. Like, I was a 12-year-old, like, can I have off of school tomorrow? Like, yeah, it was.
Well, all that regimented kind of stuff made you better for the person that you are today.
Absolutely.
If I hate it, it's probably teaching me something.
Yeah. If it doesn't feel good on the inside, there's a reason.
Yeah.
And I definitely have listened to myself now a lot more because of that. Like you said, and like those things that happened in the past couple years, things that happened were for a reason. And I am very grateful to everyone I've worked for and to everyone that I've paths that I've crossed in this business, because I wouldn't be where I am.
Yep.
I really wouldn't be. So I do appreciate them.
Absolutely.
From
afar.
And
even though Drexel and I bumped heads, and other people that I work for bumped heads today, for the most part, I mean, me and Drexel are great. I love seeing Drexel. And then, of course, Jess and I are, she cuts my hair. So I, you know, love Jess. And
she also helped out a fellow, Kim Cirillo.
Yeah.
She was kind of found out, you know. She was found out that
the gig
we were
was
opening.
Up.
Yeah. And, I mean, but she, and Jess, again, was just like you, without hesitating, was like, yeah, come on board. You know what I mean? And for a week, Kimmy worked there for her, or with her, and she said it was great.
Yeah.
So it was nice. Yeah. It's nice to know that you still have friends in the business.
Cooperation over competition.
That's right. Should be the slogan for and this podcast.
Well, and it's a great lifestyle, because, you know, there's a... You know, I do other things, and someone was talking to me about, you know, the relationship with, like, higher power and stuff, or God, and I'm like, you know, it's such a weird subject, and I go, I think to me, you know, a relationship with a higher power, a relationship with God is a lifestyle. Yeah. You know, it's not a, you know, it's not a badge I carry. It's not a a club that I visit or a building that I show up to. It's a lifestyle, you know. It's about helping others, being available. And still, you know, we struggle with self. We still got to do what we need to do. But, you know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he's like, I don't really feel like I have a relationship with God at all. And I was like, well, and I do some other projects, and he had made these, like an agenda and some stuff for these meetings, and laminated it and punched the holes, and it was beautiful. And I go, I don't know if you know, I'm not sure what your relationship with God is, but this is God-like stuff. This is a lifestyle of a higher power. This is helping others, asking for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that, I think more people have a relationship with that kind of stuff more than they know it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it just depends on what you call it, right? I mean, I call it God.
Right.
I do have a great, not a great relationship, but I constantly try and listen to him and pursue God every day. And that you're exactly right. It's, you know, you should have something that you look to that's bigger than you.
Right.
Every day. And if some people, that's God, and some people it's just something. They think it's spiritual or, you know, something that's the universe, something telling them that they should. Sorry.
I just saw the shadow. I'm like, is that God?
Something.
Is that your God? God's here.
He's here. He's in a flannel shirt.
Well, but it's a lifestyle. I think it's a lifestyle.
And well, and yes. And it should make you feel good.
Yeah.
It should nothing. And that's the thing is like what you just said. You just don't know it. You're not listening to what it is, your body, or like you're just thinking like, well, you know, I did this for whatever, but it's not God-like, you know? And it's like when you're not thinking about yourself and you're not doing things for yourself, that's God, you know, or like you say, in the universe or a greater thing than yourself.
Well, as a kid, I felt like God and Santa were pretty much the same. Just ask for and I shall receive.
Right.
Santa did a lot better than God.
Yeah.
Right. So I've chose.
He's like the chain
I
of
chose
command.
Team Santa and not team God.
Uh-huh.
But as I've gotten older, I realized that, you know, it isn't about getting stuff.
No.
It's not about fixing me or saving my ass. It's about, you know,
giving.
Yeah, being there, helping others, you know, offering a key to a salon when the person's working through. And I believe me, opening a salon is an emotional event because we have the dream, then we got what's physical, and then you hope they all come together. And there's nothing worse than trying to figure out how you're going to maintain a clientele during this time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the one thing I really like about you, Tom, is that you live a life of gratitude, though. You're always very appreciative.
Attitude of gratitude.
Yeah, and I think that's a godly way.
It's a lifestyle.
It's very much so. You're very helpful, and I think people have seasons in their life, right, where they're, like, I know I've been in a season where I've, like, I feel like I've just been taken. You know, I just take, because I'm just in that season, and I'm ready, or I feel like I just want to start now giving back, you know, and being in that place where I can. So I hope I can help people or help you or help anyone if I can, you know, and it's like, I will.
You know, Drexel was great at, you know, I remember when I started working at Bad Hair Day and I would watch him and he'd be like, my God, you look terrific today. Your hair looks wonderful. You look awesome. I love how you're dressed. Oh, look at you. He was very like, and I'm like,
made you feel so good about yourself. Well,
yeah, but I used to be like, God, that feels so. I can't imagine me saying that to somebody.
Oh, really?
Like, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't live that lifestyle. I wasn't complimenting everybody, but I also didn't work. I worked on a golf course. I didn't work in a hair salon. So, but he was a great example that it's okay to say, man, you look wonderful today. Man, you look like you're having a great day, and just stopping and recognizing and complimenting people. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know how to touch somebody. Right.
Getting in someone's bubble is a lot weirder than most people think.
It is an odd. It's
touching
an odd,
a perfect stranger is weird.
And I remember even Miss Kay, she's like, you know, it's all about the touch. She's like, once, like when you're doing the scalp massage, don't let go.
Yeah.
Don't break that connection because that is energy, right? And
that's
and Drexel
so true.
Was,
I still remember that. Yeah, that's funny.
And Drexel was real good because it was an event. I remember going into Bad Hair Day with my buddy Rick, and my buddy Rick used to walk Agnes's Greyhound. Or no, it was a bit. What's that big dog?
St. Bernard?
No.
Great Dane.
Oh, yeah.
She used to have a Great Dane. And, oh, my God. Hold on. And Rick used to go over and walk her dog for her. Uh-huh. And I went over there one day with Rick, and I remember walking in there, and I'm like, and it felt like I just walked into, like, a Van Halen concert. Like, everybody was, and the people were sitting around.
Yeah, it's
and,
a show, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember.
The energy was really good in there.
And Drex would be walking through the salon, hey, dee-dee-dee-dee, shoving candy in people's mouths, and yeah, high-fiving, and cool chicken. And I was like, whoa, this is really cool. So when I finally got to join that world.
Yes.
But I didn't come from that world. I wasn't, you know, that way. No. I was more like, ooh. So he was just a great example of how. I guess it's really just taking care of people business.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I will say, like, again, Liz Spigoni and Allison Christ at Pink.
Allison cut my hair, and I cut her hair before.
She's awesome. They're good family girls. They have great morals. And they said to me from the start, they're like, if you ever want to open your own, we will totally support you.
Yep.
And the day I told them, they were like, I am so proud of you. And I literally like had tears in my eyes. I was like, oh my God, you guys are so nice. And I was like, I wasn't even opening my own. I was going into like a suite type thing where I thought was like better and more independent than I was at their salon. But they supported me and they still do. Like I'm actually meeting them after this. I have to go get a water cooler from them, but they're very...
When did being nice to people become such a special event?
Such a, like, being kind. Like, when we have to be reminded to be kind, someone has to wear a shirt that says, be kind, and I'm like, that's awful, you know?
It's like, being kind feels good.
Yeah, remember the racket, the random act of kindness?
No.
You don't remember those? Like, I feel like that's a
Oh, like a paying it forward? Like, paying I love when you go it. Somewhere, like, you go to Wawa, and they're like, you're like, go to buy a coffee, and he goes... It's free. I'm like, really? What happened? The guy ahead of you bought it.
Yeah,
and you're like, really? Shit, I guess I got to buy another one.
Yeah, you're kind of like, oh, I'll get the person behind me.
But that's cool.
But I think it was like, I used to do it at the toll booths.
That's the other one.
Yeah, like I loved it when I would get to the toll booth because now they're like $3. And I'd be like, oh my gosh. And they would be like, the person in front of you paid for you. I'm like, oh my God, what kind of car were they driving? Like, I'm going to go speed up.
Can you
to
do
catch
that? Can we do that going over the Tappan Zee?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like probably $15 now. Go ahead of us, Allie.
Yeah.
You got this.
You got this one. But no, I agree. It's, but you know, I do believe there are so many. I think you find what you look for. So if you really look for kindness, I think you'll find it. I think if you're out there and just. Yeah, maybe you're in a season where you're just not paying attention to it, and you don't have any desire to find it, so you're not going to find it. But I do think it's you notice it when you look for it.
Listen, kindness starts with us.
That's right.
If you're foul, you'll never see it. You know, you've got to. I've got to, and I, this is something that I have to remind myself with on a daily basis that I have to, I have to start fresh every day.
Yeah.
You know, I have the best job. Like you, right?
Yeah.
I have the best job. I work for the best boss ever.
That's right.
And I have the best situation. There is not, I play music. We work. We make decent money. I don't answer to anybody. And there are days I wake up and I don't want to work.
Yep.
I'm like, oh God, I don't even want to go there. It's like, it doesn't get any better.
Yep.
The only job that's better is where you just show up in a room and they just pour money into your lap and you do nothing.
Yeah. You get your hair done to get. To get paid to do that. Yeah.
So it's I have to start off every day and I have to remind myself just because I like a day yesterday, I'm super kind. I could wake up with an attitude the next day and forget all that. And, relationships are built and broken in like the first minute. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, oh,
first impressions. Yeah. I agree.
Well, I love it that you have broken out and you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
And I love it that you came on the podcast. And I know you're going to have a ton of success. And, like I told you before, you have a key, so the door is always open for you.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So one more time, it's Tossled.
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 Not tasseled.
How do you spell that, Dempsey?
T-O-U-S. LED.
Thank you. Uh-huh. So if you see tousled, it's tousled.
Yeah.
After on tonsils.
It's 19878 Hebron Road.
Hebron Road. Yeah, do you have a website?
Not yet. The phone number is, I'm sorry. No, I should have had this ready. I believe, I don't want to give you the wrong
one. We're going to put your phone number in the link.
302. I would assume, right?
Yeah, 302.
That's a good story.
It is 302-260-9599. And it's myself, Allie, and Kim Cirillo. So if you were looking for us, yeah, you need to find us. That's
if you're a long-lost client of Allie or Kimmy.
Yes.
And you've been searching the land, and yeah, now we found them.
That's right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So you're going to get a website. You're on Instagram?
Kimmy is. No, I'm not. No, I'm not a social media girl. I'm barely on Facebook or Instagram. I'm kind of on there. So if you need to reach me, you can reach me.
Well, I mean, you could do
an
Instagram for Tossel.
I sure could, yeah.
You could.
It's putting the effort in. I'm not good at that. I need a person. But yeah, okay, great. So I could... My Instagram name is...
We're starting an Instagram company.
ALI10781. And then Facebook is Allison Knox.
Yeah.
And I believe it's under Tossled Salon. Like, my business is Tossled Salon. But I don't have I have Messenger. So you can message me on Facebook and I'll get it, but not Instagram because I won't get it.
The cool thing about your place is you can actually ride a bike there.
Yes, you can. And get your car washed and vacuum it for free right up the street.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's a massage girl upstairs. There's,
oh, really?
Yeah, and there's a guy who he's doing high-end clothing upstairs. He has his little online boutique there, and there's a psychiatrist down the hall from
us. I feel like that's going to be the new Rodeo Drive, because I went to the furniture store down there. Out of my league.
That's
out
what I
of
heard.
My league.
Well, so what is Canal? Is it Canal Corcoran?
Corcoran, yeah.
That's right around the corner.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful neighborhood. So, yeah, it's very up-and-coming.
It's up-and-coming,
yeah.
And I... Yeah.
Go get a beer at Revelation and come get your hair done. We serve beer and wine too. But yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, we do.
All right. Well, Allie Knox, great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And we'll have you back maybe.
Yeah.
Whenever you got something going on, or you want to just bored when
I
come hang
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I think we're gonna do like an opening, so we'll probably.
Ooh.
I don't know when it'll be, but we'll definitely be back.
I'm still gonna do an opening.
Yeah. 10 years in.
12 years later, I still haven't done a grand opening. I'm like, I don't know, is this gonna make it?
I think you're good. But
I'm the guy that's always worried that no one would show up to the grand opening.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird. A lot of people like you. You're a likable kind of guy.
I'm weird.
Yeah.
But we'll work on it. All right, Allie. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.